I got me on the phone right here, Mr. Joe Mullins. How you doing, Joe?
Wonderful, Steve. Thanks for featuring the Radio Ramblers on Worldwide Bluegrass.
I'm thrilled to do it, bud. And so far this morning, this afternoon, actually, we've played two cuts from that new album, which is Listen, They're Playing My Song.
Mm-hmm. And they're playing my song. It's our latest on Rebel Records. Got it out in October.
Yeah. I played this morning already for the listeners. I played A Blue Million Tears and Bottom of a Mountain. Both are just great. The whole album is just... it's just great, great, solid bluegrass, Joe. And in the introduction part to the show this afternoon, I told everyone that you excel as not just, there's a lot of good straight bluegrass banjo player. I play banjo, Joe, so we're going to slant it in that direction. But I also appreciate you as a band member. And what really separates the pedestrian players like me and guys like you is what you do in the background when other people are playing and how you emphasize things. And I just think that you are one of the best, not just stepping out there to play a lead, but back in the back, man, filling out that banjo sound. I just think you're as good as there is.
Well, bless your heart. I appreciate that. I've had the opportunity to play with real good bands and play with great vocalists and who have great timing and always been with good guitar men that choose good material to sing. And from my early roots, growing up in Middletown, Ohio, and I was 18 years old, and me and my dad and great guitar man and singer and songwriter, Mark Rader, we started a band called The Traditional Grass. And I kind of grew up with a good band, with a good foundation. And I've always said, even if you play the kickoff and take a break in the 3-minute song, you know, the banjo's only got the spotlight for about 35 or 40 seconds, and you got to do something the rest of the time.
That's right.
And so you make music together, and that banjo, it takes a lot of self control to play something that fills up the end of the line, or play something that backs up a great vocal part without getting in the way.
Well, because we all know we can blow everybody away if we really want to.
Holy sure. just a banjo just laying there in the case. It's just a smart aleck accident waiting to happen.
I like that.
But I grew up getting to watch J.D. Crowe and Sonny Osborne, you know. They're the masters of filling up the hole and playing something tasteful and backing up great vocalists. So I was privileged at a young age to be in a solid band where we had good timing, good material, even some original material. And so I had a foundation from an early age as a player to learn how to play something that helps make the band sound good, not just feature the banjo.
That's right. That's right. You know, and Sonny's on this show a lot. He calls in about every Saturday if he's so far he's called in every Saturday. Missed a few. He broke some ribs right before Christmas. Fell and hurt himself, and I kind of gave him a pass for a couple of weeks. But that's what I think about. When I think about the real backup, of course, J.D. and Sonny was so different in what he did. But when I listen to, like, for example, the title cut from your new album, Listen, They're Playing My Song, you're pretty much back in the back just supporting everything. And it's a neat song. It's got bits and pieces of a lot of different bluegrass songs. But you're right there at the foundation, and I listen to it as a player, and I hear all these little fill-ins and all these things that you're just laying out there, but not being obtrusive. And I like the whole album, but I like that kind of stuff because I know that's where the real, like I say, that's what separates the men from the boys in banjo playing.
Well, I appreciate that. I was fortunate to be befriended by Don Reno late in his career. I was a teenager learning to play. And Don told me one time, he said, when it's your turn, jump in that microphone and give it 100%. When it's the other guy's turn, back up a little bit and make him shine. And I never forgot that. Uh-huh. And it's hard to do with a banjo because you can just get in the way all over the place if you want to. And so sometimes it's not what you play, it's when you play that matters more.
Well, and you do it. I mean, you absolutely do it. You know, before we went on the air, just for the listeners out there, and just if you've tuned in, I'm talking to Joe Mullins here. Joe's right up the road from me. You're what, Middletown, Dayton area?
I'm just outside Dayton.
Yeah.
I have an office in Xenia, Ohio.
Okay.
It's the Radio Ramblers, because I'm still in the radio business as well as the banjo business. I've owned a local radio station in Xenia for almost 18 years, and I live out in the country between Xenia and Springfield.
Well, tell the listeners, and we'll get back to your band, but tell them about the radio. You've got some roots in radio business, and tell them how you got started in that, and talk about the station itself and what you do.
Well, I had a great foundation. My dad was one of the best broadcasters for country and bluegrass radio for many, many years.
Oh, a pioneer.
Our audience, at some time or another, has heard of Paul Mullins, the fiddle player, or Paul Moon Mullins, the broadcast personality.
Oh, yeah.
Dad landed in Middletown, Ohio, when the radio station in Middletown was still a big anchor part of the country and bluegrass business. That's the station where Bobby Osmer started his career, and Red Allen started his career. And
Bobby went in there. Bobby went in there and sang. He sang Ruby and blew everybody's mind.
That's where he started. Uh-huh. 1949, he sang Ruby on the radio as a teenager, and then just took over.
Yeah.
Jimmy Martin was there at that station for a little while. Dad landed there in the early 60s, and I grew up in Middletown hearing him on the radio. Started working at that station myself in the early 80s, at the same time when Dad and I and Mark Rader started our band, The Traditional Grass. And I kind of combined bluegrass and broadcasting through the 80s. Dad and I both left that radio station in the late 80s and were on the road full-time with that band. Until in 95, I had an opportunity to buy the local radio station in Xenia, Ohio, just straight east of Dayton, about 15 miles.
Okay.
And so I kind of went to full-time broadcasting and part-time banjo playing after I bought my first station in 95. The part-time banjo playing part, I was able to contribute to the band Longview on three different recordings,
sure,
and half a dozen tours through about a 6 or 7 year period, and that kept me, made me keep my chops up a little bit on banjo. But I was very blessed to add to my broadcast business, buying a couple of other local AM stations and adding an FM license to Xenia a few years ago. So I manage a local network that plays classic country and bluegrass, and it's full service commercial radio. We do news and weather and sports and the farm report and stock market report, and I'm very fortunate. I've got a great crew of veteran broadcast and sales and management people that work with me and allow me now to travel with the Radio Ramblers, a band I started about 6.5, 7 years ago. We played local shows in 06, 07, 08, made a real good record that Rebel Records picked up somewhere late 09, early 10. And we started a very busy travel schedule about 3 years ago, and we're able to win our first IBMA award last fall, and our third consecutive release for Rebel Records is the one you're featuring. They're playing my songs.
Yeah.
We've been very fortunate.
Yeah, Joe, I remember when the album that you made that was picked up by Rebel was something that you did to sell at shows, wasn't it?
Yeah, the band started in 06. We did an independent release that we got out early in 07 that featured a few old favorites. But then once we'd been together for 2 years, we really started looking for material that we could make our own. And we finished up an album in 09 with the Radio Ramblers, with all the original guys, called Ramblers Call. And that's when we first arranged our version of Another Day, Another Dollar,
yeah,
and The Farmer's Blues, and Heaven's Green Fields. And those tunes really grabbed the attention of a national bluegrass audience. Say, wow, these guys have got a great trio. We recorded an acapella quartet number on that album. It was an album we were very thankful to release and very proud of, and it started selling as an independent release really well. So Rebel Records contacted me and said, "Hey, we would like to own that record and do worldwide distribution on it." So Rebel re-released it in early 2010. That's mm-hmm. the way that happened.
I remember that.
I said, "Well, let's sign a contract and let's get Rambler's Call out to all the radio and retail outlets that'll take bluegrass," and that's immediately planned to do a hymn album. And so then late 2010, early 2011, we released Hymns from the Hills, an all gospel project with the Radio Ramblers.
Oh, that's
and several
excellent
special guests.
We feature that almost every show, Joe. I get something from there, and it's just a solid collection of hymns. That's a wonderful album.
Thank you. And it's what a blessing to have, I say, the Mount Rushmore of bluegrass gospel Larry Sparks, Ralph Stanley, Doyle Lawson, Paul Williams. They all contributed as friends and guests to the album, and so did Ron DeVincent.
Ron DeVincent, yeah.
We got four or five songs off that. It was still among the band's most requested.
Hey,
and then we immediately started working on finding some fresh material and adding a few fan favorites and instrumentals to the current collection that are playing my song.
Who's in the band now?
Mike Terry, as founding member, plays mandolin, sings every part. Evan McGregor on the fiddle, contributes vocally when we sing the quartet. Great sound engineer, too. It helps us stay focused and stay in tune. Tim Kidd, original bass player, solid as a rock. Adam McIntosh is our original guitar player and vocalist. He's from here in our area of southwestern Ohio. And Adam and his family had an opportunity to relocate out to Arizona in late 2012, and we helped facilitate his leaving the band with bringing in Dwayne Sparks. Dwayne's from Richmond, Indiana, been with the group since the first of the year, and is a singing son of a gun, guitar and vocals.
Well, your vocals are so strong on this album, too.
Well, thank you. We work on that a lot. There's so many great young players, and I'm just an average old player.
Ah.
I thought, well, if we can capture people with you pick great material, and you can sing it good enough that they pay attention, and there's a little bit of wow factor, you know, within the first 10 or 15 minutes of a set.
Yeah.
Then you can connect with people, and then they want to own your records, and they identify you then when you're heard on the radio if your vocals stand out. So we really worked on that, and I appreciate that.
You know, a friend of yours, a friend of mine, Sonny Osborne, has always said, it's what up front that counts, and he's talking about the singers, because of course he had Bobby in the band, as you know, or he was in Bobby's band, but he's saying the same thing you're saying, that the vocals are going to catch them, and then all you guys can be as hot as you want in the background, but the vocals are going to catch them and grab them, and then they're going to stick around.
You got to sing something that's memorable and meaningful to whatever audience you're in front of, whether you're playing for 80 people or 8,000 people, and we could do either in the same weekend. It's just the way this business is.
Yeah.
I think the bluegrass business is in the best shape it's ever been in. We're playing better venues to better audiences and have more exposure through the World Wide Web and satellite radio and all the rest. However, it's still niche music. And in any given weekend, we could play one night for 80 people and the next night for 8,000.
That's right. That's right.
And our goal is to connect with them and make it memorable for them and be identifiable with the type of songs we sing and how we sing them.
And you do them. I've seen you many times on stage. When Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers take the stage, it's very obvious to the audience that you know what you're doing and why you're there.
Well, thank you. That's a very nice compliment, Steve. But yeah, we try to do that. I've matured enough that we try to do that without being too stiff.
No, you don't want to be stiff, but you don't want to be fumbling around.
Wait, you mentioned Sonny. He's been a lifelong friend and family friend, and then an influence on me as a banjo player and performer since day one.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being on the road when I was younger, probably just in my early to mid-20s, hitting hard in the late 80s, early 90s, with the band my dad and Mark and I had on the road. And Sonny, we were at a big bluegrass festival in West Virginia. And I was at our CD table, and I was meeting folks, and I was signing autographs, and I was talking to people. And I looked up, and from 20 yards away, Sonny was filming me. He had one of the first little handheld camcorders. And I looked up, and I started walking towards him. He put the camera down. I said, "What in the world are you doing?" He said, "You are the most intense son of a gun I have ever seen." He said, "Lighten up a little bit and have a good time." And so I finally, now that my kids are almost raised and I don't have to, I don't feel like I've got as big a burden as I once had to prove to the world that I belong, I really have a good time with the guys in the band and interacting with the audience. However, I do also take delight in presenting our stage show much like a radio program. And I'm just talking about, we don't have dead air. That's a habit of mine. And when the song ends and the applause dies down, I've got something to say or another tune to play. We're not going to piddle around.
That's right.
But also, I'm a big stickler in our stage show and our recordings in mixing it up a good variety of keys and tempo and the set of the songs and different vocalists. That vocal diversity is something I love. We're going to hit the stage and within the first five songs, you're going to hear three different lead vocalists and three or four different harmony combinations. Because Mike sings lead, Dwayne sings lead, I sing lead. We do duets, trios, quartets, the whole thing. So it's fun. It's fun to have the diversity and have the maturity finally, after I've fiddled with this for 30 years, to be able to enjoy being in front of a crowd.
Joe, if we're talking to Joe Mullins here on Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass on Worldwide Bluegrass. Joe, if you have a second, let me play the tune I was talking about earlier, where I think, I mean, everything you do is so well, but I like this as an example of the banjo player supporting the band and taking tasteful licks and being there but not overshadowing. I'm going to play the title cut from Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers, the new album. Listen, they're playing my song. Can you hang on for just a few seconds? We'll come back after that.
Sure, Steve. Thank you.
Okay, folks, the chat room is open if you want to get in there and shoot me some questions to Joe. We're going to talk a little bit longer. First, we're going to take a break here and listen to the new title cut from Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers. This is Listen, They're Playing My Song. Pay attention to Joe's playing in the background as a banjo player. That's where the real skill comes in, trust me. We'll be right back. All right, that was Joe Mullins is still on the phone. We took a break there and listened to the title cut from the new album from Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers. That was Listen, They're Playing My Song. Now, Joe, we talked a little bit about what you're doing in the banjo in that particular song. There's others, of course, but that's the most recent one. But explain to the listeners a little bit about that whole song, which, by the way, is like a collection of different bits and pieces and references to tunes. What was your approach to that song?
The song is just everything lonesome and bluesy you can think of, all rolled up into one. I grew up hearing that song by Jerry Lee Lewis in one of his great late 60s country LPs. And after we recorded it, I found out Ray Charles had done it first. So they're definitely bluesy. And I think you're painting a picture of everything lonesome and bluesy to the audience.
Yeah.
And the music's just got to build a frame around that picture. That's the way I look at it. I don't, from the bass to the fiddle to the banjo, the music, you know, you got your rhythm is your foundation, and then everything else is just window dressing around this picture of the lonesomest son of a gun in the world. That's what that song is about. So when somebody's singing, you kind of get out of the way. Whether it's the vocal part, that's solo. If you've noticed, there's solo, duet, and trio, all in that thing. And the banjo is just window dressing. And so you want to play something that that just helps paint the picture. You don't want to get right in the middle of the focus.
You know, if someone were to ask me, hey, I want to start playing a banjo, and is there a recent record out where I can listen to someone and pick up all the stuff that goes in the support or the backup, I would say get this album and listen to that song, because you're filling all that space with great taste, but you're also using all these licks that you know, you're making choices to put them in there, and Earl did it, you know, and then we all follow what Earl did, but it's not easy to do that. And that song there, I think, is a nice collection of how you do it, the right notes when, and the taste that you use, and the volume that you use, and the timing. That's just, to me, that's a hidden classic. Maybe that's why you picked it as the title cut. I don't know. But from a player's point of view, I think that's a hidden gem on there for a banjo player.
Wow. I really appreciate that. You mentioned your friendship and mine with Sonny Osborne, and Sonny was the first that had to play commercial country music because of the phenomenal vocal harmony of the Osborne brothers. They got, you know, brand new classic country material handed to them from pop writers, from Daryl Statler, who wrote Listening to the Rain, to Felice and Bootle O'Brien, you know, Rocky Top,
Tennessee
Hound Dog, and all the rest.
Yep.
Dallas Frazier's Beneath Steel Waters. They had commercial music handed to them new. And he was a guy that had to make a banjo fit that stuff. Yes, Scruggs was the foundation for Sonny and for Crow, and even for me. I didn't get to see Earl the way that Sonny and JD and that second generation did. But I got to see them, and they always pointed straight back to Scruggs.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad, when I first started as a kid, he listened to Earl first. So that's where you get that basic foundation of timing, and you get that syncopation and that roll, and you get that thinking of that forward roll approach if you start out as a scrubs player. But then watching Sonny and Crow, that's where that bluesy backup comes in. And Sonny was the greatest at it. So I've just learned a few bits and pieces here and there. We do an Osborne Brothers medley in the new album. We do four of our favorite Osborne Brothers arrangements that all work well together. It's a real crowd pleaser on stage. And every lick I play on that, I learn from watching and listening to Sonny. I got to see him at least a couple times a month, it seemed, all through the 80s and 90s. And I tried to do my homework and do it right.
Well, that's a good place. That's a good well to drink from, my friend, and you've done very well. You are, and where's the band going to be next? Tell us a little bit about where you're going. I'm going to let you get back to what you're doing.
We got an all-Ohio weekend next week. We're on the campus of Cedarville University. I don't live very far from the campus. We're doing a concert at their theater next week on Friday night. It's open to the public as well as the college campus. We are up in Plain City, Ohio, near Columbus, at a concert series at Community Center in Plain City. Next Saturday night, that would be the 23rd, we're doing an all-gospel concert at the First Baptist Church in Washington Courthouse, Ohio, on Sunday night the 24th. Then we take off for the first weekend of March to Texas. We're in Crockett, Texas, it's a music cafe in Crockett, Texas, on the 1st of March. We're at a big indoor bluegrass festival at Arlington, Texas, in the Dallas suburbs on March the 2nd, and we're at a church service in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, on March the 3rd.
Okay. Well, we were talking at a break, the listeners didn't hear, but Joe and I got to see Joe. I was just in the audience at an event in Dayton, Ohio, several years ago to honor Earl Scruggs. I believe it was a birthday, one of the big birthday numbers for Earl. And I have a picture here in my office, which doubles as my studio during this time. And it was an afternoon session. It was a workshop for banjo people like me to attend before the big show that night. And I got a picture back here on my wall. And it's Joe. I have to look around, make sure I get them all. Tom Adams, Earl Scruggs being interviewed by Sonny Osborne. Behind them is J.D. Crow, Robbie McCrory, Jimmy Mills, and Bill Evans. And, man, you look about as proud as you can be to be up on that stage with those guys.
Oh, that was a big, big day. I think it was 2004.
Well, yeah.
It was 3 or 4. It's been almost 10 years ago.
I think you're right.
And it could have been, I don't know, it could have been even before that. Yeah. It could have been 2 or 3. I can't remember. I've about got 2 kids through college and you're brain dead by the time you get done with that.
Well, I had a blast that day.
That was a big, big day.
Oh, man. That's a big...
Dayton had an association that presented a lot of music and dance and arts programming around Dayton, and they asked me to be the producer of a Scruggs concert. And they said, we don't want to just present Earl Scruggs with his family and friends. We want to have it be a banjo player extravaganza. Produce us an all-star concert of banjo players who've been influenced by Scruggs, then we'll present Earl in concert at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So we did an all-day workshop. We only had room for about 100 people, and they registered from all over the world.
I was there.
Glad you got in there.
Yeah, buddy, right away.
All those players you just named, Bill Evans, spent about a half hour with each of us, and with Earl at the end of the day then, with Sonny and J.D. on stage. It was really special. Then we had an all-star concert that night, and each of us were backed up by an all-star band and played a few of our favorite Scruggs tunes, and then Earl and his family came out and did a concert at the end of the night. It was a big, big day.
That was a great time. I keep that picture. I'm going to email you a copy of that picture because you mentioned it during the break. And gosh, Joe, thanks so much, Joe, for calling in, man. I've enjoyed this. I hope you come back sometime when you got something to talk about or just want to chat.
Well, thank you, Steve, for playing our music and presenting it on Worldwide Bluegrass. And any of our listeners can see RadioRamblers.com.
There you go.
We've talked about a few personal appearances here in Ohio next week and Texas the week after. Got a great calendar that we're all over the map. We're from Vermont to Montana to North Carolina in the coming months. So hit RadioRamblers.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Hey, Joe, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. There you go. Joe Mullins. That is that's a class guy and a good man. Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers. So happy he could come by today. Joe, thanks so much for calling in.